It's Light the Tower.
Say goodnight to this one.
Your daily look around the world of sports with Horns 24/7 insider Jeff Howe on your live, local, and independent home for sports talk in Austin, The Horn.
Light it up on a Friday. Wherever you're listening, however you're listening, we just thank you so much for joining us for another edition of Light the Tower on the Horn, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. I am Jeff Howe. We'll lose our way for the first hour because, as everybody knows, Craig is not here in studio. He is in Oklahoma City getting ready to call what could be a really long yet potentially exciting weekend of baseball in Oklahoma City at the Big 12 tournament. Texas and the loser of a scheduled 4:30 game between West Virginia and Oklahoma State, scheduled to play at 7:30. Could be 7:30, could be 8 o'clock, could be 10 o'clock, who knows. But we'll carry it for you here on the Horn whenever it happens. And the plan, tentatively, is for Craig to join us in the second hour of today's program. So we are looking forward to that. It is a pack break Friday. We've got some trading cards to go through because Snoop and I love to do that. And without further ado, let me bring in our esteemed producer behind the glass. He is the publisher, curator, otherwise Major Domo, Flex ATX, flexatx.com, at FLXATX on Twitter and Instagram. He is the one and only Snoop Daniel. Snoop, you rocking the lid from browneyeclothing.com today,
you know,
as well?
It. And the Davy Crockett jacket.
I see that.
And a St. Andrew shirt. So I'm a fashion misfit, but I'm repping for the brand Brown Eye.
So we've got a lot to get to today. We'll get to Longhorn baseball. Again, Craig is going to join us in hour number two. We've got two Longhorn notebooks, which is customary for a given show, and inconceivable. And it is a Florida Friday, so we will visit the most flaccid state in the union. But Snoop, in Inconceivable, I want to run down just the, quite frankly, the debauchery we're seeing in terms of fan behavior in the NBA and NHL playoffs. And it's, I don't know if this is the COVID release and people are losing their minds,
yes,
or the most idiotic amongst us are just more prevalent now. But man, people are wilding out all across the country come playoff time now that people are allowed back in arenas. So we'll get to that coming up in Inconceivable. But I wanted to start the show today, Snoop. You mentioned this yesterday when I said, hey, Snoop, you got any big weekend plans for Memorial Day weekend? We will honor and remember the fallen who gave us the right to enjoy Memorial Day weekend. But Snoop, you said not really, because you got a big weekend of high school baseball ahead of you.
Yeah, and it actually started last night. Oh, started Wednesday.
Well, hold on. Before you get into it, because this is what I want to do top of the show,
yeah,
because we are the high school sports show of record here on the Horn. We're going to flex on them, Snoop, so why don't you hit them with a little flex music and just run down.
Impromptu.
Yeah, just run down. Go ahead and give everybody the lowdown on what to expect this weekend in the high school baseball playoffs.
Now, I am a little prepared for this because I just got done doing my Fox hit. Although we talked mostly about Braylon James. It was weird. I talked about Jeff Howe was rubbing off on me. A little Mike Roach-ish.
He's blowing up, man. He's blowing up.
All right, so 6'8".
You called that, by the way.
What? Called what?
Braylon James blowing up. You called that long before it happened.
Oh, man. Dude, this week he got the offer from Notre Dame and West Virginia.
Yep.
And he has offers from Ohio State, LSU, whatever. But TCU, Baylor, Texas A&M, SMU, what school have I not mentioned yet? I'll leave it at that. Anyway, 6A baseball playoffs.
Patience, grasshopper. Patience.
It's like, what are they waiting on? Anyway, whatever. He's only, by the way, he hadn't even played a snap of his junior football season, so I should pump my brakes as well. He's a baby. But I'm like, you know, the world throws off. Okay, 6A baseball, I digress. Round Rock versus Los Fresnos. Most people would say the Dragons beating Lake Travis, which was number one in State 6A the majority of the year, was a surprise, but not for the Dragons. They're still alive and the only 6A team in the Austin area alive. They're in Corpus Christi, a one-and-done, winner-take-it-all game against Los Fresnos. And I'm pretty sure Los Fresnos worked it out like this.
That always fascinates me. Like, the team that either like wins or loses the flip, however that works, and you can pick. You want a best of three, or you want just a one game playoff. If you're a team that either A, you have a stud pitcher that you know can get you a dub on a given night, or you're facing a team, you know, like Round Rock that's got, you know, depth.
Yes.
You know, pitching depth and is a deep talented team. You probably want to just take your chances on one night and not try to extend that thing. You don't want to try to take your chances over trying to take two out of three.
No. And I remember the name Travis Sikora, who right now is a Baylor verbal commit. And Aaron Hogan even said, he's like, that kid will never step foot on a college campus. I feel he could play like Triple A ball right now. He's a sophomore. Kid is like 6'2", lean, like 185, powerful, shorts infielder. It is crazy. So Round Rock. All right. 5A baseball UIL playoffs. We have two Austin area teams still alive, Dripping Springs and Rouse. In fact, Rouse, they already swept Gregory Portland last night. They had the 3-1 win. So Rouse is moving on to the state quarterfinals. They will play the winner of Dripping Springs versus Corpus Christi Veterans Memorial. Last night, Dripping Springs extra innings tied to all. University of Texas baseball signee Cameron O'Bannon comes up to bat with the bases loaded. They hit him with the first pitch. The umpire says that he leaned into the pitch. Next pitch goes behind the catcher. Runner from third scores. Dripping Springs wins game one, best of three, 3-2. Game two is tomorrow at Northeast ISD Sports Complex in San Antonio. Lastly and quickly, 6A and 5A softball. In 5A, two of our teams, I'm going right after this show, Jeff, right after our podcast, Light the Tower, Leander versus Georgetown, Concordia University, best of three, a three-game series starting 1 p.m. today. Game two is tomorrow, same time, 1 p.m. Last but not least, Bowie versus Judson. Bowie was leading this game 10-5. They lost 14-10. So a lot of fireworks. Game two is tonight, 7 p.m. at Buda Johnson High School, and that is your flex Austin area baseball wrap.
So that you said Leander and Georgetown, right?
Yeah.
So it's the best two out of three. So if they need a game three, do they just play like 45 minutes after game two is over?
Okay, correct. And Leander, again, number one in the nation, not just the state, the nation. Georgetown, number nine in the state. Leander, they are district rivals as well. And Leander's beat them twice. So it should be pretty good.
Hey, Big Mike on the Specs text line, 337-3776. Said he heard Flex ATX last night, the Thursday Night Flex last night for the first time. Said big ups to you, Snoopy. Love the show. Huh. So if you haven't heard Thursday Night Flex, and when we get back to football season, it'll be the Friday Night Flex. And if you haven't heard Snoop on that show and you love high school sports, you're just doing life wrong, because that's a really good way to get caught up on everything going on in the greater Austin area. And Snoop does an outstanding job promoting the preps coverage in the Austin area. So Limerick Winter texts in, and I honestly didn't know how this works, so it's interesting to know. So when you've got baseball, softball playoffs, and you're picking, it's either, you know, a one game, just a one off, or best two out of three.
Yes.
No coin flip involved. If one of the managers / head coaches wants one game, then it's one game. So,
damn.
Yeah. Evidently, just if somebody wants a one game, then they do a one game.
Hear the Craig Way angry impersonation.
Like when Craig's telling a story about how he just, the serial killer-like focus he had dispatching that scorpion.
Yeah.
The rage in his voice.
I want him alive.
Yeah. It's a Snoop, real quick.
Palpatine Way.
Somebody wants to know where Leander in Georgetown, where is that?
At Concordia University.
Okay.
1 o'clock.
And you're headed over there?
Right after here.
Okay, nice.
Right after here.
So,
Coach Bond for Georgetown, Coach Driver for Leander, and I want to say their names because they aren't going to get many shout-outs, you know, just because it's, you know.
Snoop, what's the best way for people to follow it? Is that your Twitter account or the Flex Twitter account?
Oh, Flex.
Yeah, at FLXATX.
Don't follow me because I don't know. I really should have my account privated, but I don't, because if I do, they're going to take my blue check mark away. So I have to leave it public, because I am my own person as well.
They really take away the blue check mark if you go private?
Yes. Huh. That might have changed recently, but I remember once upon a time in like 15, I did that, and my check was gone, and I was crying. I was like, please, like, why didn't mean to? What happened? They're like, if you're a private account, and they gave it back to me, but they said, don't do it again. And I'm like, I don't.
I saw that Twitter is in the process of verifying accounts again, mm-hmm. and issuing out the blue check mark. So I guess if you're somebody of note,
you need one.
I have one.
Oh, you do? Oh, yeah, yeah.
I have a blue check mark.
Yeah, yeah, because you get like hundreds of interactions.
I got one because there's a Jeff Howe who covers the New England Patriots now. I think Jeff is with the Athletic now. I know he was with the Boston Herald for a long time, but I think he's with the Athletic now, covering the Patriots. And quite frankly, Snoop, I got tired of getting tweets like, I can't believe what you said about Gronk on the radio. I'm like, I didn't say anything about Rob Gronkowski. Like, what are you talking about? Do you know if Tom? No, I don't know. Why would I know if Tom Brady's practicing today? Why would I care? So I'm like, look, can there just be a distinction between there's a Jeff Howe that covers, and likewise that Jeff Howe was getting questions on, like, at the time it was like, oh, what do you think about Malcolm Brown and Jonathan Gray? How are they going to split up carries between these two running backs? Like, why is he getting all the University of Texas questions?
He's at the Athletic.
He is at the mm-hmm. Athletic. Okay, so during football season, it happens. I'd say on average about once a week that he'll get a Texas question and I'll get a New England Patriots question. So that's one of the reasons why I wanted the blue check mark. Like, and it doesn't work out that way, because since I've got the blue check mark and the other Jeff Howe doesn't, like, national outlets will tag me if they bring the other Jeff Howe on. So then I get flooded with Patriots comments, and then fan base is going back and forth, and it's just a huge, big old mess.
Than the Horn.
Like, my personal account, yeah. I have more followers than the Horn. I don't know what that means, Snoop, good or bad, but I'll take it.
Well, yeah, it's not a rat race, I'm just saying. And you have 13,000 more followers than me, so.
Oh, wow.
There you go.
Now that is something that I will take pride in, because you're a social media monster, yeah. Snoop. So, Snoop, let's talk Texas baseball. Longhorns get the win in an elimination game. I think for Texas fans, it's always a good day if you say, hey, you stay alive for a chance to win a conference tournament championship, and you end Oklahoma's season in the process, which the Longhorns did yesterday. Really not a pretty win. If you watch that game, it was frustrating at times. Texas just situational hitting in the Big 12 tournament once again. It just hasn't been good. I mean, yesterday 2-for-10 with runners on base, or excuse me, 2-for-10 hitting with two outs, 3-for-15 with runners on base, 1-for-5 with runners in scoring position. So the Longhorns, 17 strikeouts at the plate yesterday. Just a really rough day, and you can go to what Oklahoma did, and you can credit Wyatt Olds. He came out of the bullpen, struck out 11 in 5 innings, gave up only 2 hits, did get tagged for 2 runs, but, man, he was dominant for a while on the mound. And talking to David Pierce post-game, he got asked about, what is the balance between, is it just a lack of execution at the plate, or do you just tip your hat to good pitching? And like most manager/head coaches in his position, Snoop, it's a little bit of both. I mean, you tip your cap to the guy that is able to locate and is able to go, 94 to 97 and paint the corners and pick his spots. But at the same time, if you're Texas, you got to figure out a way to execute in those situations, because as you get into regional play, and if you're fortunate enough to get into a super regional and get to Omaha, you're going to continue to see really good elite pitching. Now, are you going to see it as deep into a tournament as you're going to see this weekend if you continue to advance? And I think that's where the separation comes into play. If Texas, starting with today, like, it's a good advantage for Texas. And I do want to get into this with Craig to see what the vibe in Oklahoma City is, because as soon as the Big 12 made that announcement, A, that they were postponing the two winners bracket games yesterday until today, and B, how the setup was going to be today, like, and I apologize to any Mountaineer fans that are listening to the show, but there is not a bigger group of social media complainers in this conference than West Virginia fans. And you share a conference with Baylor fans, so that's saying a lot. But I immediately see West Virginia fans. Oh my gosh, this is being unfair to Texas. This is giving Texas, or this is unfair to everybody. It's giving Texas an advantage. You just want Texas to do well. Well, you're also neglecting the fact that Texas will have had to won four games in 3 days just to get to Sunday. So they're not, Texas is not at any more of an advantage than anybody else playing through this thing. And I think, though, the difference to me is twofold. If Texas can win the game today and get to tomorrow where they will have to win a couple of elimination games against the winner of that Oklahoma State-West Virginia game, they'll have to beat the winning team twice on Saturday to get to Sunday. Here's where I think the difference is going to come in, Snoop, and we talked about this a little bit. Difference number one is these Texas bats, as they've gotten deeper into weekend series, you get into some bullpen arms on Saturday and then face somebody Sunday pitching. They've been really good throughout the year consistently and racking up a lot of hits, a lot of runs, really productive Saturdays and Sundays on the weekends throughout the regular season. So that's one thing. So if it's going to turn around, it's going to turn around as teams get deeper into their pitching staffs. And the other part of that is you're not going to find, there aren't maybe TCU, but even then we've seen TCU, there's been a drop-off with some of their guys the further down they get into their starting arms and even the deeper they get into the bullpen once you get past Halen Green and a couple of guys. The pitching depth from Texas is what's going to carry them this weekend, because you're going to go with your number three, Pete Hansen, today. Then I would assume in the first elimination game on Saturday, you go with Colby Kubicek, who up until a couple of weeks ago was your Sunday guy. And then in that second elimination game, I'm not expecting David Pierce to, tax those bullpen arms more than what they would normally get in a weekend series. So I don't think you're just, Tanner Witt threw 37, 39 pitches, whatever it was in the Wednesday game. I don't think you're going to see him go out Saturday or Sunday and throw another 35, 40 pitches. What I do think you're going to see, though, is you're going to see, obviously if they win today with Pete Hansen, you'll see Colby Kubicek at some point on Saturday. I could see if they get to that second elimination game, Snoop, I could just see David Pierce giving Justin Eckhart the ball, who started a couple of midweek games this season, give Justin Eckhart the ball and say, hey, give him hell, kid. They're not going to burn through arms. And that's where you could see, a Coy Cobb, a Jared Southard, who pitched better as the year went on and actually had a couple of really good outings toward the end of the season.
Former Rouse player.
Yeah. I think I just mentioned Coy Cobb. Coy Cobb's a guy you can see. You're definitely going to see Lucas Gordon at some point in the next 2 days, again, assuming Texas wins and get to Saturday. As a matter of fact, I think if you need him, you probably see Lucas Gordon at some point today. But this is I don't want to call it a blessing in disguise, because it's certainly not that. But this is going to give David Pierce and Sean Allen a chance to get a look at some younger arms in postseason situations, which, as we know, are high leverage situations. What you got going on back there, Snoop?
Sorry, I didn't mean to do that.
No, I heard something in my ear. Everything good?
No, I'm sorry. I gasped because I had my mic up.
Oh, were you watching something on the social that you weren't supposed to be
actually,
watching?
I was loading David Pierce post game.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Do you want it? It's a minute 40.
Yeah, let's go ahead in here. Is this with Craig or Roger?
Yeah, one of them.
That's a hell of a setup. Let's go ahead. This is yesterday. Yesterday, after the 4-1 win over Oklahoma in the elimination game, this is David Pierce's thoughts.
Okay. Oops. Oh, up. Sorry. Here we go.
We talked to the guy, David, who's been your guy all year long. That second game of a series, always something important. No more important than elimination, and he gave you seven strong innings.
Yeah, he was really ticked off last week that he didn't get to finish that one, and this is the exact reason, because, he emptied his tank out there. He was tired, but, boy, he just goes out there and competes. He mixes. We like playing defense behind him because he works quick. So just a great outing by Tristan to keep us in the tournament.
Well, they had some arms that were delivering today. You guys scratched out enough, and Zach was kind of in the middle of it all along with Douglas Hodo.
Yeah, they're a lot like West Virginia in the bullpen. I mean, they've got excellent, excellent power arms, and when they hit in the zone, they're tough to beat and tough to handle, but we were able to scratch one late. Doug did a nice job on the double. Just, it was one of those grind-type wins. I mean, it wasn't anything pretty, but we live for the next game.
You only care about winning this one. But when you get the two like you did with Tristan, 7-2 from Aaron, that does take a little stress off the arms if you're going to play a bunch more.
Oh, there's no doubt. And we needed a long outing by Tristan. He delivered, and, you know, we weren't going to waste any time. We just went straight to Aaron right there with the two-run lead, and then we were able to tack one on in the ninth.
And now you hope West Virginia and OSU play about 14 innings tonight?
If they play, and when they play, I don't care if they play all night. I mean, that's fine with me, but I know we're scheduled right now to play 7 o'clock tomorrow.
And then you got Pete tomorrow. He's been throwing as well as anybody in that three slot.
Yeah, I like where we are as far as starting pitching for tomorrow night. Pete's going to go out and command the ball and give us a chance.
All right, thanks, David.
All right.
Yeah, Tristan Stevens yesterday continues to be – you could have made a really good case that Tristan Stevens over Ty Madden for Big 12 pitcher there. Tristan Stevens goes 7 innings yesterday, gives up 4 hits, 1 run, walked 2, struck out 4, 102 pitches. Snoop, you realize that's the 11th straight start Tristan Stevens has had where he's gone at least 6 innings. And that covers the entirety of conference play. That covers his weekend start in that South Carolina series back in March. And then all throughout conference play, they did have the weekend series with the non-conference series with Abilene Christian mixed in there when they took a break from conference play. But he's been just dynamite for the last couple of about the last month and a half. And yes, that was Roger Wallace on on the interview. Roger doing a post game with it was one of them. How about that? How about we just have. Intro the broadcast, or I'll just make sure Craig after the game, post game coming up. Well, one of us will be down on the field with David Pierce.
It's gonna be one of them.
It's gonna be Well, that's a you got a 50-50 shot of getting it right, Snoop.
Yes.
So anyway, big thanks to Craig and Roger. Great job on the call as always for their post game interview with David Pierce. We will hear from Craig coming up in hour number two, and we will keep the Texas baseball conversation going. But coming up next. A little more Texas football talk. We've got to get back into the Steve Sarkisian Touchdown Club of Houston talk, find some things that we didn't cover yesterday, and kind of put a bow on that, at least for now. There's still stuff, obviously, that we're going to be able to talk about in the coming weeks as we're now 99 days, Snoop, until Texas kicks off against the Louisiana Raging Cajuns at DKR. Texas football talk when we come back on Light the Tower on the Horn, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Craig Way, Jeff Howe, and Snoop Daniel light the tower.
Rolling along, hour number two. Light the tower on the Horn. Live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. Jeff Howe, Snoop Daniel. We will visit with Craig Way coming up here in hour number two from Oklahoma City. Talking Texas baseball and the Big 12 tournament. Said this last segment, I really want to get the vibe from Craig on what the vibe is up there. The vibe report, if you will. I know what the fan reaction, what the media reaction was, quite frankly, to everything getting postponed yesterday, because apparently it's springtime in Oklahoma, so they're you're always at risk for some storms and some pretty hellacious storms at that. That said,
Oklahoma City Thunder.
True. That's I don't know if that was part of why they did that, Snoop, but you never know.
I would think.
Well, it's not a bad call. At any rate,
what the hell? Oh, sorry. Oh, I just saw the Trae Young spit thing. My mic was on. I'm sorry.
It's a Friday for Snoop. Snoop is definitely in holiday weekend mode. No, we'll get to that in Inconceivable. But I'll just get the vibe. So the vibe from Craig on what's going on in Oklahoma City, there were storms yesterday. Apparently they rolled out, and some people felt like they could have gotten at least one, if not both games in. I don't know, so I want to get Craig's take on all of that. But let's go ahead for right now and get into the notebook.
Jeff Howe's Longhorn Notebook, brought to you by Cedar Park Overhead Doors. Go to cpdoors.com.
So a couple of things to touch on in the notebook today. First off, it is 99 days until kickoff. And if you look at the Longhorns, who currently and previously have worn 99, that's been a pretty good number. Keandre Coburn. Where is it right now? Roy Miller wore 99 back when he was playing for the Longhorns. But I'll go ahead and say, Snoop, probably the best 99 in school history. I got to go with Steve McMichael. Steve Mongo and Michael wearing 99, two-time All-American, consensus All-American. Part of that 85 Bears defense, that 46 defense under Buddy Ryan. Steve McMichael, obviously, he's in my thoughts and prayers, and I think a lot of people out there, his battle with ALS that he just recently revealed. But what a dude, what a badass life Steve McMichael has lived. Snoop, have you heard the old school stories about Steve McMichael, about some of his habits like back in high school, back when he was growing up in Freer, Texas?
I do.
This is the kind of guy that would, if they found a rattlesnake on the practice field, he would like go over and kill it with his helmet, allegedly. There's some legendary stories about Steve McMichael. And how badass do you have to be a member a prominent member of that 85 Bears defense, and you also ran in the Four Horsemen with Ric Flair as a professional wrestler? That's a pretty awesome life Steve McMichael has lived. So he gets my vote, Mongo does, for the best number 99 in the history of the Texas football program. So at 99 days until kickoff.
Fine.
We got to talk about the opener against Louisiana, because yesterday, after we had gotten off the air, this was in the middle of the Texas baseball game yesterday, three adjustments to the 2021 schedule for the Longhorns. First off, I'll give Craig Way props, because the minute the schedule was released, the Big 12 put that Thanksgiving weekend game on a Saturday, and Craig was the first to speak up and say, don't get your hopes up. Count on that game against Kansas State being moved to a Friday game. And sure enough, that Thanksgiving weekend game, Texas is going to take on Kansas State on Friday, November 26th at 11 a.m. kick on Fox. And that's kind of the spot that Texas should be accustomed to being in now, is playing the 11 a.m. game on Black Friday, this time with Kansas State coming to town. This will be the sixth year in a row where Texas has played a Black Friday game. They haven't played the Thanksgiving game since 2015 against Texas Tech. That's one to file away for the memory bank. That was the game Chris Warren ran wild. Had, I think, 275, I think, is what he finished with in the Texas Tech game, a 48-45 game. Patrick Mahomes had an insane touchdown pass to Jakeem Grant. I believe it was off of a ricochet. Holton Hill almost had a pick, and instead of it being a pick, it ricochets out of his hands. He finds the hands of Jakeem Grant, and it ends up being a Texas Tech touchdown. But that was a wild game and just a bizarre 2015 season for Texas. And, I've been a big proponent that if you're going to play Thanksgiving weekend, just go ahead and play the game on Saturday. Like, I understand why they play it on Black Friday for TV purposes, and, the family's still hanging around. And it, I don't know, Snoop, it seems like I'm wondering in the post-COVID world if people will do less Black Friday shopping than maybe they have before, because last year Black Friday was a lot of it. I'll say the vast majority of it felt like it was online.
Yes.
And there weren't as many people out unless there were some specialty items that you were getting. I got out and did Black Friday shopping because if I need a TV upgrade, that's usually the time of year where I'll do it, because you can get something, I wouldn't say top of the line, but you can get basically something that for the amount of money you're paying, like, well, if it goes out in a year, then I got my money's worth out of it kind of deal. So I'll go TV shopping on Black Friday. But there were not near as many people out this last year as there was before. So I say all that to say this. Putting that game, that K-State game, on Black Friday in the 11 a.m. spot for Fox, maybe they're counting on better ratings and actually getting good ratings and it being worthwhile, because more people will be at home in front of the television set rather than being out shopping. And for me, but for me, I would just rather soon play the game on Saturday. It's pretty obvious, and we figured out pretty quick. I felt it the first year when they tried the TCU thing and then alternating TCU and Texas Tech. Trying to play a game on Thanksgiving night for Texas against somebody other than Texas A&M, and with all due respect to Texas Tech and TCU, it just didn't feel right. It didn't work for me. Nothing felt right about trying to do that. So I'm glad at least they're not playing on Thanksgiving. Again, I would like to see it on Saturday, but I understand it for TV purposes for Black Friday. We know when the Longhorn Network game is, what the Longhorn Network game is going to be, at least the non-conference edition. The September 18th home game against Rice. September game, 7 o'clock kick. I think we can all give two thumbs up to that. Well, everybody's giving thumbs down to, I mean, I'll be in the press box where it's air conditioned, but those of you sitting in DKR,
boo,
man, hydrate, hydrate, hydrate. The season opener against Louisiana, Snoop, September 4th. Whew. It's on Fox, so you get it on Big Fox, but to do so, that thing's going to kick off at 3:30 in the afternoon. That, sir, is going to be absolutely brutal. An early September kickoff at DKR in the middle of the afternoon. So that would just be my advice if you're already making plans on going to the Louisiana game.
I'll be there.
Hydrate, hydrate, hydrate. So the non-conference schedule is set. Louisiana, September 4th, 3:30 on Fox. The Arkansas game, which we already knew the following week in Fayetteville, 6 o'clock on ESPN. And then the Rice game on LHN, 7 o'clock on September 18th. The K-State game is the only Big 12 game right now that we know date, network, kickoff time. We know date and network for the Oklahoma game. It's going to be on ABC, ESPN/ABC. Most likely going to be the 11 a.m. window because I would bet on CBS putting Alabama-Texas A&M on at 2:30. So that, I think, for the Big 12 would ideally be what they want on that deal. Snoop, did you say you're planning on?
Oh, yeah. Well, it was me and Dave Fralick. You know, we're like game day homies, and so we'll go and watch. We went to every home game last year, and we're going to this one this year. And we'll probably tailgate beforehand.
Yeah, we can tailgate again, and hopefully we get, you know, Bevo Boulevard and the whole Full Tilt experience.
Did I tell you like how wild they are? Well, not they aren't wild, but like the LSU game is like the Fox 7 family. I think I told you they didn't even go into the game. I was like, what? Y'all are going to the game? They just stood out there and they had tickets.
That's, you know, tailgating is one of those things for me. I can't really partake because, you know, it's a work day for me on game day. But that's the atmosphere outside the stadium is what I missed the most last year. Like, it felt like I was showing up for, like, a practice
or
a high school game going on at DKR. It didn't have the same kind of juice.
They were, like, and because, like, COVID was still pretty much raging, so they would have the people who did have tailgates, they would, have them in parking garages. I know that they are a lot of times in parking garages, but they were almost, like, hiding from the public that they were tailgating.
Yeah, it's I'll tell you what was the weirdest, kind of just bizarro world experience I had last year, Snoop, was the Oklahoma game. To get there, and I got there a little later than I would normally get there, knowing what the traffic situation was. But for there to be no traffic, just pull into the Cotton Bowl, unobstructed, you know, be there about 2 hours before kick, and there was no fair last year. So nobody's on the midway. It's just kind of a few people meandering around. It was so bizarre, so weird. So I'm looking forward to college football getting back to normal where we can have some good tailgates and good atmosphere, the whole nine yards, the whole works when we get to football season. It starts September 4th against Louisiana.
And Jeff, you know, whenever the season opener is on like at 3:30, like people be getting up at like 6 a.m. to start drinking. So by the time 3:30, it's not 11 a.m. anymore or whatever. It's or noon. It's
I would hope I would hope this fan base, those of you who were around and will remember, I hope they learned their lesson from that Stanford game back in 99. That was, I think that was either an 11 a.m. or a noon kick. And one of the big headlines the following day was the amount of people in the stands that had to be treated like for dehydration and heat-related illness. It was just a staggering number. So hopefully everybody hydrates and takes the proper precautions.
Well, people forget how to act, you know. And a lot of times, you know, like last year, you know, I'm not saying everybody does, but a lot of people binge beverage. And I assume to start it's going to be like almost like these NBA games, like people forget how to act.
Yeah, there's gonna be some of that, and there probably will be some of that. Hopefully that's contained just to tailgates, and it doesn't spill over into the stands and cause a bad experience for somebody attending a game at DKR once we all get back in there. And it's gonna be a big deal. You know, that should be, I haven't seen anything, but typically, you know, that first kickoff, it's under, released under Chris Del Conte. That's Hall of Honor weekend, South End Zone's opening, so there's gonna be a lot to celebrate in that opening weekend against Louisiana. And honestly, I figured this would be a Fox game because that's going to be a really good opponent. You look what that program did last year under Billy Napier. They go 10-1. Their only loss was to Coastal Carolina. Everybody knows how good Coastal was. They end up winning the First Responder Bowl over UTSA. They finished number 15 in the AP Top 25. That's a program that you can make an argument right now is in a position to be considered the top tier among the group of five schools in the country right now. So that and Sark said it on Wednesday at the Touchdown Club of Houston. Louisiana's got their full attention. They know they've got their work cut out for them when the Raging Cajuns come to town on September 4th. And then also he mentioned the Arkansas game, knowing how that everybody knows how big of a game that is, especially in the state of Arkansas, like we talked about yesterday. I do want to hit this real quick, and we'll get more of Sark from yesterday, or from Wednesday, excuse me, in Houston. We'll get more of that in the second hour. We'll also hear from Craig coming up in hour number two. But just a little bit on the quarterback we talked about. Sark mentioned that it's going to be a gut feel for him on making a decision on whether Hudson Card or Casey Thompson will be the starter. And this was his quote from that event talking about the quarterbacks. Quote, "I really feel like they need a summer now throwing with their teammates, getting acclimated more to the schemes, and then coming to training camp and compete. And then when my gut feels right, I'll make the call. I'm kind of a gut-oriented guy. I love to prepare. I prepare really well. I study, but on game day, I'm going to call plays from the gut a lot of the time. There may be times where you say, what the hell was that? Let me tell you guys something real quick. I've called plays a long time. When a play works, you guys like it. When plays don't work, you're like, that was a bad call. No kidding. I know that. So that's how I operate with the quarterback. I think there's a feel factor that you have to have because it's not all talent. It's who can move the football team down the field, who can manage the game, who can be the leader, who do the guys rally behind. Yes, they need to know the X's and O's, the checks, all of those things, and have the ability to make all of those throws. But who are they as people in addition to moving the team down the field? So those are some of the things we're looking at as we move forward with that position. So that was Sark talking about basically how he views the process of calling plays as the head coach, something he did at Washington, something he did at USC, something he's going to do at Texas, viewing that through the same prism that he views picking a quarterback, play calling and picking a quarterback. It's all gut feel for him. And like we said yesterday, I think it's worth repeating, it played out exactly like it needed to. Both Hudson Card and Casey Thompson have every reason to be invested in the chase to see this thing through until the bitter end. And even then, you know, if the race is too close to call and one of those guys has to take the first snap on September 4th, maybe you can get both of those. And I'm not saying do a two-quarterback system because anybody that's heard me wax poetic on that, I loathe the true two-quarterback system unless you've got two guys unique enough to make that thing work, and I don't think you have that in this case. You're going to need both of those guys to get through the season, so whichever guy doesn't win, I think as a Texas fan you should hope it's close enough that the guy who finishes as the runner-up and enters the season as the backup feels like they can stick around and at some point have a chance to be the starter for this team in 2021 and make their mark and be the guy going forward. We'll get back to Texas football. So that wraps up this edition of the Notebook. We'll get back to Texas football talk coming up in the second hour. We'll also check in with Craig and talk more Longhorn baseball. But coming up next, we've got a Pack Break Friday, and it is time for a little Inconceivable talk. We'll do that when we come back on Light the Tower on the Horn, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Inconceivable. 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 Inconceivable.
You keep using that word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Inconceivable means it's brought to you by our good friend Dr. Matthew J. Crawford and the fine folks at Austin Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. If you or your athlete have suffered an injury that requires orthopedic attention, visit austin-orthopedics.com. Let Dr. Matthew J. Crawford and his team get you back in the game, not just on the field or on the court, but in the game of life at austin-orthopedics.com. Before we get to our inconceivable moments, we do have our Pack Break Friday. Good sponsor, good company. BrownEyeClothing.com is helping us with that. We're just bringing awareness to colorectal cancer. 20% of the proceeds of Brown Eye Clothing will go directly to colorectal cancer awareness organizations. In and around the greater Austin area. It's good, guys. We need to get this stuff taken care of. Your first colorectal cancer screening is recommended at age 45. It is the number one killer in the future for 20 to 29-year-olds. So, obviously, make sure you're taking care of that. BrownEyeClothing.com, great partner for us here on Light the Tower. So, Snoop, what are we breaking today? We've got Hold It Up for the folks on Twitch. We've got a little Bowman baseball. It is baseball season, and then we're going to try a little Topps MLS action today. So we'll get to that here.
I already got a super dope card. I already sleeved up.
Oh, nice. So we'll get to that here in a little bit. So Florida Friday, let's get to it. A Florida man has been arrested, Snoop, for allegedly attacking his daughter with a piece of pizza after she said she wanted to be alone.
I don't know why I laugh.
Now, this isn't like my 3-year-old when, you know, like the other day she had something on her face and I was like, hey, let me see what's on your face. And she just kind of pushed my face away and said, Daddy, leave me alone. Get out of my face. And I was like, yeah, 3-year-olds say the darndest things. But I love my Charlotte Bear, and she loves her dad. She just, you know, 3-year-olds pop off an attitude sometimes. It happens. But this was not that situation, Snoop. On the afternoon of Sunday, May 23rd, Tyler Warden, 41, visited the Vero Beach home of his 20-year-old daughter, Kristen. Snoop, you ever been to Vero Beach?
No.
Craig, I think, has been to Vero Beach because that's Dodger Town. So I would imagine Craig has been to Vero Beach. I've been to Vero Beach. It's a nice part of Florida. He brought a pizza for them to eat together, but she told him that she wasn't feeling well and asked him to leave, according to an arrest affidavit. The daughter told police that her father then became angry and refused to leave. He allegedly argued with her in the doorway of her home. She said he then allegedly began to throw slices of pizza at her, hitting her in the face. The daughter began to yell at her father and called 911. After he allegedly refused to leave. When Officer Jonathan Lozada from the Vero Beach Police Department responded to the woman's call, he discovered tomato sauce on her face. Lozada also found pizza toppings covering the entryway of the woman's house. The police officer interviewed the woman's father, who claimed that he only threw the pizza after he thought she had closed her front door, but Lozada did not believe his claim. The father's physical location during the argument and the woman's outward swinging front door led Lozada to conclude both. There is no way that Tyler could not have seen that the door was open when he threw the pizza. Lozada also noted, quote, strong odor of an alcoholic beverage on the father's breath. He arrested Tyler Warden on a misdemeanor charge and booked him into the Indian River County Jail. So, yeah, throwing pizza.
Pizza the Hut.
Assault with a deadly pizza. So,
I'm thinking about Pizza the Hut on Spaceballs. You remember him?
You know, I'll be honest, Snoop. I've never seen Spaceballs, one of those movies I've never seen.
That might be as inconceivable as Chad Hastings never seeing White Men Can't Jump.
Or the fact that you haven't seen The Big Lebowski.
No, I guess so, yeah.
How about this summer? I'll watch Spaceballs, you watch The Big Lebowski, and we'll do a movie review.
Deal.
How about that? We'll do that here on the show. So I've got to get to this before we hit the break. So this is just this is an example of fans just wiling out. And you know what? I lost that, so we'll have to hit that story at the top of the next hour.
Well, I saw part of it. I saw it on the TV above you. Some people spitting on. You can't spit on nobody, fam.
Yeah, so Trey Young.
Moon me even.
Trey Young was spat on in Madison Square Garden. Ja Morant's family had racial slurs hurled at them in Utah. So there's been a few fans banned from that arena. You've had the incident in Philadelphia. Russell Westbrook got popcorn dumped on him.
Yeah.
And that fan has been banned from the arena and lost their season ticket privileges. So I don't know, Snoop. Like I said, I don't know if this is just the COVID release or what, but man, it is harmful in some cases to be in an arena these days if you play in the NBA.
Well, because people know that if they do something outlandish, that's the worst that's going to happen. Like, I know it sucks. Like, oh, I'm not going to be able to go to the game anymore. But Russell Westbrook will not be able to appropriately react to you, like,
physically throwing popcorn on them because they know they're going to be protected.
Right.
Cowards.
Right. So
we can do that in the street. Russell Westbrook will mess you up.
We'll run those incidents down because there's a couple more of them. We'll run those down.
It's not funny.
No, it's not funny. But it's not funny, but it kind of is. So just like I said, just people being crazy. That COVID release is getting the best of people right now. We'll go over those. We'll also, Craig is rock and rolling, ready to go from Oklahoma City. So we will come back and chat with the franchise, the MVP of this show, the voice of the Longhorns, the Hall of Famer, Craig Ware. We'll do that. And hour number two of Light the Tower on the Horn, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.